The Heath Mulligan Project started as a glimpse into the daily life of a family dealing with a terminal illness. Each of our lives is a gift from God, a project to work on and improve. Once you discover your purpose and your passion, the possibilities are endless. Are you ready to get started on your project?
What's going on, good people? Welcome to the Heath Mulligan Project. And let me go ahead and say that on this episode, there are going to be a lot of spoilers. A lot of spoilers. For movies, for TV shows, for the Ted Lasso series finale. So, if you've not watched any of those things, then you don't want to listen to this. Because there are going to be spoilers. Because I want to talk about the way things end. And I want to compare some of my favorite TV shows and movies, their endings, and talk about them. Because I've been watching Ted Lasso, and this season, the third season, it's been coming on at 9 o'clock on Tuesday nights, which was like a welcome thing. So yesterday, my son had his wisdom teeth out, and I planned my whole day around helping him and watching that at 9 o'clock. And I sit down on the couch at 8:30 and I'm getting ready. And it's popped up and it says, available Wednesday. And I'm like, okay, they're just messing with me. 9 o'clock, 9:01, 9:02, it says, available 9 p.m. Pacific time. So it's going to be midnight before this thing comes out. I'm like, man, I'm not staying up till midnight. Went to bed, got up early this morning, and watched the finale of Ted Lasso. And to me, it was a great, great finale. And that begs the question, what makes a great finale of a TV show? And for me, it means you've got to have some resolution. You've got to answer some questions. And the really great shows answer the right questions. They know which questions they can kind of leave open-ended. And they also know there are certain questions that you have to answer a certain way. And then there's some questions that don't matter. For example, again, we're getting into the spoilers right now, okay? In the series finale of Ted Lasso, AFC Richmond wins their final match. In dramatic fashion, it builds the drama. It's everything you want it to be. But Manchester City also wins their match, and therefore AFC Richmond doesn't win the Premier League. And the way that they let you know this, the way that they let you know it is their way of telling you, hey, that was secondary. They won their final match. They beat Rupert's team. They beat Rupert on and off the pitch. But of course, going into that finale, I wanted them to win the whole thing. But it was a beautiful thing. And you realize, oh, okay, well, that doesn't diminish what's happened on the show. I think we all kind of knew Ted was going back to America. He goes back to his family. It ends with him coaching Henry's youth soccer team. But they don't tell you. They don't tell you if he and Michelle got back together. Now, there's some assumptions you can make because he gets dropped off at their house with all of his luggage. But it's kind of ambiguous. I don't even know if that's a word. I'd probably just muse ambiguous. Ambiguous. That's why I love this show, because it allows me to show that I am not that intelligent. Something ambiguous. Mug is making up words. Ambiguous. That's the word I was trying to say. I need to stay away from the big words. But they kind of leave it open-ended. Jane and Beard. Or as we found out in the finale, his name is Willis. They get married. They're having a baby. Yeah, dude, I'm giving you all the spoilers. Anyway, like, Nate is with Jade. Nate finally has the acceptance of his father. Rebecca runs back into the dude from Denmark and finds out he has a young daughter. And it's like magic. So all these things happen, and beat for beat, they got it right. And there were certainly some surprising things. You know, Rebecca sells 49% of the team, and May and the guys at the pub all buy a share of the team. So there were these cool things that I had not considered, had not thought about, but they tied, I think the point is, they tied a bow on it. I think back to the Office finale. You know, Pam and Jim end up happy. Pam does this big gesture of selling the house and saying, hey, we're moving to Austin. We're going to do this. We're going to chase our dreams. Dwight and Angela are together. Andy ends up getting his dream job at Cornell. All these cool things happen, and stuff is, you find out, you know, Michael's happily married with lots of children. He got his dream. So all these, you know, it things are tied up nice and neatly with a bow. I think of Friends, same thing. Chandler and Monica end up having twins. Phoebe and Mike, is that her husband's name? They decide they're going to have kids. Ross and Rachel, they kind of figure out, hey, we're together. We don't have to have a title. We're just going to be together, and that's going to be okay. Joey is Joey. Joey's this, you know, Joey, you kind of see this maturation over the show, but Joey's Joey. Like, he didn't end up with anybody. But it was like everybody got what they needed to get. And it's like, you know, the show ends and they're off to their next adventure. I think back to Cheers. Cheers, everything changes and nothing changes. Norm gets a job. Woody's on the city council. Rebecca gets married. And I think Rebecca's, they move away. Sam just kind of, you know, he finds out his first true love is the bar. It's not Diane. And it's like everything changes. Everybody matures, but nothing, but everything stays the same, because they're still going to hang out at that bar. They're still going to do what they do. And so it's like they all come to this realization, hey, this is our life. This is what we want. You contrast that, and really the whole point, you know, I've been rewatching Seinfeld. And I think 8 or 9 out of 10 people would say, man, Seinfeld was a disappointing finale. And I agree with that. Because here's the thing. Seinfeld did none of that. Seinfeld was a show about nothing. And in some ways, the end of the show was the perfect ending. Because the cast basically pays for all the crimes they've committed throughout the year, you know. They're, you know, putting other people down and making fun of people and not paying attention. And all these things, the fact that they've gotten wrapped up in the minuscule things of life and they haven't really worried about the important things, it all comes back to bite them. And they, you know, they go to jail in the end. But as I've been thinking about this, I think that may have made Seinfeld the perfect finale for that show. That it did not do. It did not do any of the things that we typically want our shows to do when they're ended. Seinfeld didn't answer any of the questions. Because it hadn't asked a whole lot of questions. We don't know about Jerry and Elaine. We don't know. We don't know. It didn't answer any of those questions. Could it have been, would I have preferred that the finale of that show had not been really a lot of recaps and flashbacks to stuff that had happened? You know, absolutely. But I think when you look back in the past, and if you had gone into the Seinfeld finale thinking, hey, this is not going to be your typical finale. This is not going to give you everything you're hoping for. If we had been able to manage our expectations and accepted it for what it was, which is a good episode of TV, but when you treat it like you would treat other finales, like if you hold the Seinfeld finale up to the Ted Lasso or The Office or any of these other shows I mentioned, you know, it doesn't hold up. Again, because it's not your typical finale. You know, the more dramatic shows, somebody's going to die. I think, you know, I just recently watched Guardians of the Galaxy 3. It's the end of this trilogy. And I thought it was brilliant. I thought, again, it answered a lot of the questions that we had. And it also really, I think, through the whole series, we had been thinking, you know, Peter Quill's looking for love. He's looking for Gamora. He's trying to have this relationship. But then in the end, you realize, man, Peter Quill, he's got this hole in his life. It's not love, it's family. And again, spoiler alert, he literally has one family member in the entire universe. One blood relative, I mean. And that's what he goes. It ends with, hey, he's getting this relationship he's never had. He's getting to do things. He's having, spoiler alert, he's having breakfast with his grandfather. They're sitting around the table eating cereal. Like, just like normal people would. So the thing is, I think sometimes we want our life to be like that. And life can be like a show. It can be like a sitcom. It can be like a lot of those things. Sometimes it's a heck of a cliffhanger. Sometimes, man, things just kind of leave you hanging, leave you want more, leave you asking a lot of questions. But I think one thing we can learn to do is figure out, you know, how we're going to perceive things, how we're going to react to things. What I'm learning now is I've had to make a lot of really difficult choices the past year. A lot of really difficult choices. The kind of choices where you get to the end and you're like, I don't ever want to have to do that again. I don't ever want to have to make that choice again. I don't want to ever have to make that decision again. And what I find myself now in, that there were so many of these hard choices, and now they have led me to this opportunity in this place I've always wanted to be, of being able to do some things I really love doing and to be able to do even more of that. I was watching a movie with a friend the other day, and we knew the movie was on like an hour and a half, and it was like things were going perfectly, and we both just said, yeah, something bad's about to happen. And it did. It, you know, something bad happened, and then you have to come to the resolution of that. And I think our minds, our brains, and I've talked about this before, our brains don't like unresolved things. Our brains love resolution. Our brains love closed loops. Our brains love closed doors. It's the door that's cracked open just a little bit where you're unsure. That's the thing that drives us crazy. And it's kind of frustrating sometimes when you see certain doors you want to swing wide open and they have, and doors that have closed that you kind of wanted to close and they have. And then there's always like this one door that's just kind of cracked open, and you kind of are asking yourself, okay, is it on me to either kick this door open or shut it, or finally shut it? And I think sometimes in certain situations, it's good for us to have that door cracked a little bit. It's good. It's good to have a little bit of uncertainty. It's good to have a little bit of mystery in our lives. And I think that's what makes, for me, a great finale. Some doors that are open, some doors that are closed, some doors that are left cracked. And I think even though we call them series finales, or the end of a trilogy or whatever, the fact is, it's really not an end for the characters. It's not like their story arc may have ended, but their lives don't end. And we go through different seasons of life. And sometimes it's a cliffhanger. Sometimes it's a closed door. Sometimes it's a tearjerker. Sometimes it's a heartbreaker. Sometimes it's a celebration. And some seasons are better than others. Some seasons are more fun than the others. Some seasons are, it's a season of waiting. We're getting ready to do a new sermon series at church talking about different seasons. And I'm preaching on the season of waiting and the season of grief. Two things I've unfortunately gotten really good at. I would say the biggest area of growth for me over the last year is there is a need to be understood. And sometimes in that need to be understood, I over-talk, I overshare. Because I'm always having these conversations in my head of, well, does this person know this or does this person know that? And so I feel obligated to kind of make sure that they're entirely up to speed. And I've just been in situations this year where, like, I just don't share that. I just enjoy the moment. I don't ruin it with a speech. And it has been this really weird muscle to exercise, that when everything in your personality and everything in your gut says, hey, you need to say this. You better say this. You better find an opportunity to say this. And instead, just enjoy the moment and not even look for a spot in the conversation to say it. That's been pretty good. And it's not saying it out of fear of rejection or fear of reprisal or anything like, it's just a sense of, hey, to say this would be a very selfish thing. And sometimes the most, this is going to sound totally weird. Sometimes the most selfish thing we can do is be selfless. I wish I knew how to explain that a little bit better. Anyway, I say all that to say that I've been in a funk these last couple of days. And I can feel this pull of depression that I have often felt before, especially before Karen passed away. And it just has been this perfect storm, because you had summer schedule, you had 3-day weekend, you had Drake, my schedule's just all kind of jacked up. And you might be saying, well, Heath, what are you depressed about? What happened? It's not a, depression is not about being sad. I would say that I'm not sad about anything. Everything is happy. I would say, did I face some stressful situations? And I think that's may have been what it was. Is there have been a couple of unexpected stressful situations that probably taxed my adrenal gland, overtaxed it. But like nothing's bad. Nothing bad's happened. It's just it. It makes no sense. Grief makes no sense. It's no rhyme or reason. I have a lot to be happy about, a lot to be grateful for. Sometimes it just happens. And you know, I got up today. I didn't go to the gym. And I know, hey. What are some similarities over these bad days? Boom, haven't been in the gym. Haven't really eaten what I needed to eat. I know that. And today I got up and said, all right. You know, there's certain things you got to get done today. And you're going to get them done. And tomorrow's a new day. Having 5 bad days. Not bad. I'm not saying bad days. Having 5 weird days in a row doesn't make a life. It's what you do with that. And in the morning, I'll get up and go to the gym. And Friday, I'll get up and go to the gym. Saturday, I'll get up and go to the gym. And then I start my summer schedule, where I got to be very intentional, where I'm going to be on the road, where I'm going to be at camps, where I'm going to have to be very intentional about working out. I'm going to have to make time. And so that's where we're at. What's this? What does all this have to do with Ted Lasso? I think it was there was part of me that knew that was coming. And it was like, okay. It was like in my brain over the last 3 or 4 days. I said, all right, let's get this resolved. Let's see how this resolves. And then we're done. And then we're moving on. And that's why I was so disappointing that it didn't come on last night. And I had to watch it this morning. But that's how life is. So much of our life, man, our life is a project. And I'm very grateful that when I felt like I have physically the last couple of days and I asked why, that I know the answers and I know the solutions. And that's not the case all the time. But I will say diet and exercise are pretty good solutions most of the time for your mental health. I can 100% attest to that over the last 6 months. The question is, what kind of ending are you going to write? You can't control all of it. And you need to accept the fact that in the end, there's going to be some doors that open, some doors that close, and some doors that are left cracked open. It's how you deal with that. It's how you learn to accept it or not accept it. It's how you learn to live with that situation. It's how you learn to be the best person you can be. To be the person God created you to be. To be full of the Holy Spirit. To exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. When the doors you won't open are closed. When the doors you won't close are open. When the answer you need is just a door left cracked open. This uncertainty. How are you going to deal with that? That's where we're defined. Not when everything's wrapped up in a bow. Actually, sometimes that's when we are defined. That's when everything works out the way we want it to. How do you handle that? How do you handle success? How do you handle it when everything does go your way? Whew! That's a doozy. So, I hope you enjoy whatever show you watch, enjoy the finale, whatever. I guess there's this is the time of year there's always season and series finales. And some of them are good, some of them are bad, and some of them leave you scratching your head. But life's about a lot more than TV, thankfully. So I hope you have a good day. I hope you get discernment about that door that's in front of you. I hope you get the answers you're looking for. I hope you have the patience to keep going even when you don't. So God bless you all. Hope you have a great day. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Heath Mulliken Project. Make sure to add, subscribe, and download the podcast, and leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. You can also join the community by liking the Heath Mulliken Project Facebook page and joining the Facebook group for encouragement and insight.